You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. In the halls of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, I'm very pleased to say we have come across a man whose handiwork I have admired since I was exposed to it the other day. He is John Gruters. He is, well, a filmmaker. And he has just made a remarkable film that is very much relevant to a topic near and dear to my heart. It is about Christians being persecuted for their faith. The title of the film, which is going to be rolling out on the 5th of March, is Tortured for Christ. It's going to be appearing in movie theaters across the country. I'm told that some 50,000 tickets have been sold for this movie, which is pretty extraordinary for an independent film. He has joined us to talk briefly about the story of Tortured for Christ, how you came to make this movie, and the message that you want to impart to those who will be watching it. But first of all, let me just say, I was powerfully moved by what I thought was an extraordinarily high quality and very dramatic treatment of a very difficult subject. So thank you, John.
Well, I really appreciate that, Frank. It has been sort of a cliche, but an effort of love to do this project. The story is so legitimate. When you get to tell a story of a guy like Richard Wurmbrand and Sabina Wurmbrand, who I never met. They died in the year 2001. But your colleague,
Steve Cleary knew them very well.
And he was an invaluable resource. And so I've only got to know them through their writings and through their ministry.
Tell us the story, just quickly, because they are iconic figures in this movement of saving the persecuted Christians. But what was his story?
Richard Wurmbrand was a Lutheran pastor in Romania, and he was an atheistic Jew as a young man. He came to Christ in his 20s, and God put in his heart, according to him, a desire to reach, of all people, the Nazis and the communists. But he lived in Romania.
Hard targets, we
would
call them.
Which didn't have Nazis or communists until the Nazis invaded their country. And Richard said, oh, God's given me an opportunity. And the Nazis beat him and threw him in prison. And then World War II ended, and Romania had to choose sides between two evils. They had no choice. It's a rock and a hard place. So they chose the Nazis, who then lost, which means the Romanians were given their country as the spoils of war. So in 1944,
to the communists,
a million communist soldiers just poured over the border and just took over the place. I mean, the total occupation, and that was the way it was. Atheism was not just sort of a sidelight. It was the official state religion, and they were aggressive. They were as aggressively anti-Christian as ISIS is today. And Richard and some of his fellow Christians got completely caught into that. If they wouldn't just cooperate with the communists and spy and tattle on their congregations. It's an impossible situation.
This is a practice that's still very much with us today in places like China. You have the official church.
Exactly.
The church of the regime, in that case, Nicolae Ceaușescu's, I guess, in due course, horrific as it was.
Well, Ceaușescu starting in the early 60s, but Richard was taken from the streets in 1948.
Earlier, right.
So February 29th of 1948, ironically, which would be today, if it was leap year today. Today's March 1st, as we're speaking. This is actually the very day, if this were the leap year, that Richard was taken. He ended up spending 8 years that first time in these communist prisons. And Richard says to be in a communist prison is to be tortured. They weren't just locked up. They were brutally, physically, aggressively, with pure evil behind it, re-educated to try to deny their faith and a pledge to the party. He was released for about a year and a half and was rearrested and spent another. So it was in all over 14 years for him. And it was a miracle he didn't die, and it was a miracle he was released.
How was he released? How did that come about?
Now,
was he ransomed?
In the early 60s when Khrushchev was in power, and there was a point where they, at that point, you were past Stalin, and they had a little bit of an amnesty moment, and he was released. But they realized if he stayed in Romania, he wouldn't have lasted on the streets long. And so, I think it was the Norwegians or the Swedes, one of those two groups raised $10,000 to get them a passport out of the country, which was five times the official going rate. So people poured their lives into helping them. And when Richard came to America, he had to change his mission. He could no longer be about reaching the communists for Christ. He realized now he had to be a voice for those who were still in prison, the brothers and sisters that he had seen. And so he wrote Tortured for Christ, published it in 1967. And until that book came out, as far as I know, the world hadn't heard stories about the communist prisons.
Right.
You know, it took a long time to hear about Auschwitz. I mean, those things weren't on the news. But Richard's book shocked people. This was our ally,
right.
And this is now our enemy in the Cold War. And his book sold a bestseller. He was invited to speak before the U.S. Senate subcommittee. They weren't sure if they believed his stories. They were so fantastical. So he took his shirt off in the middle of the subcommittee meeting. He stripped. And he had 18 puncture wounds in his torso. He earned the right to be heard in every way a person can earn the right to be heard. He took the suffering, and he didn't give in to hatred, and he loves them.
And that, by the way, is one of the things that you capture so brilliantly. Mm. I was talking earlier during our stay here with Jim Dow.
Yeah, Jim.
Who's, I know, been involved in this project as well. And
yes.
he recounted that story. But just tell us about that one vignette where he's talking with his torturer.
Oh, I think I know. Yeah, Richard was in isolation for 2.5 years, almost 3 years, solitary confinement. We shot this, by the way, in some of the real prisons where
Did
he was
really?
Held. They're standing, and, I mean, there is no more powerful set, even for the sake of the actors, to be in character than to be where the walls are still echoing with a lot of pain. So we were filming in an isolated chamber. So we filmed a couple of days where the guard would come down. It was forbidden to pray. It was forbidden to speak. And during the day, it was forbidden to sit. You have to stand all day until 10 o'clock at night when they would open your bench. Well, Richard would pray, and they would haul him out, and they would beat the tar out of him, and they'd throw him back in there bloody. And the next day, they'd come by, and they'd peek in the little hole in the door. They would have these small little peepholes, and there's Richard, not hiding it, not pretending to stand, but, I mean, on his knees in fervent prayer to the Lord, a real engagement and encounter with God. Haul him out again, beat the daylights out of him, bring him back. We established that this is going on. Finally, the guy comes back for the third time, and he's like, he's exasperated. He says, what are you doing praying to this imaginary God? Don't you know, your wife is in prison, your son is an orphan, your life is over, everybody thinks you're dead. I mean, what do you possibly have to pray for? And Richard looks at him, and he says, I was praying for you, which he was. How do you respond to that? Even evil, even cruelty can be shattered by love. And that happened in Richard's case. And some of his prison guards were so shattered by his love that they actually prayed to become Christians, and they tried to hide it. And many times they were found out because their whole countenance had changed. So it's if he can do that there, it's just a message to me how quickly I turn on my foes and want to squash them instead of pray for them. It's kind of hard to miss that message.
Yeah. It was one of those most riveting of cinematic moments, I think, in my life. Mm. And I think you captured it brilliantly. John Gruters is our guest. He has just made a fabulous film, Tortured for Christ. How will people be able to see this film past the rollout on the 5th of March? When it will be screening in special release.
Well, the rollout is 5th of March, which is coming up very quickly. And if they go to torturedforchrist.com, that's the way they're selling movie tickets. That's the way this distributor decided to do it. So if you happen to hear this before that, go on there. You'll see a theater near you, and you can see it one night only, Monday night. If enough people see it, they do what they call encore performances, and I'm praying that we will get encore performances. And then beyond that, I would just go to torturedforchrist.com and see what the distributors decide. It's going to be released. I'm going back to Romania next week to start working on a 6-part curriculum that will accompany the movie.
Wow.
I'm really excited. And I'm especially excited. I'm going to go back next week, and we're going to have a premiere in Bucharest for all the actors, all the crew, who were outstanding.
Yeah,
I just
really
can't
were.
Say enough about the people.
Beautiful.
I cannot wait to show them the fruits of their work.
Good. Well, I hope to show it to as many people in this country as well. John Gruters, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and for spending some time with us on behalf of, the same mission you're about, which is saving persecuted Christians. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll talk with you again soon,
bless
I
you
hope.
Guys.